This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go. Hour number four, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get you caught up on everything that's been developing in the world of sports, everything breaking. And right now it's time for an edition of the finest. Here's your chief.
John Gruden's in postseason form, perhaps his best NYSE award clip of the entire season is on deck here momentarily. Last night's Monday Night Football doubleheader was disgusting. You now have Falcons head coach Raheem Morris declining to name a starting quarterback for this week 16 matchup versus the Giants here. So he says, like, hey, we got in late last night from Vegas. We're still in the evaluation process here. But Kirk Cousins has been an unmitigated disaster. They, of course, draft Michael Penix Jr. in the top 10 of this past year's draft. So they have somebody that's ready to step in if necessary. And I can't get out of my mind how funny it is. Kirk Cousins maybe playing the worst football of his career for the team that his father-in-law is a diehard fan of, and the Falcons. And we talked about this in the offseason. This is a dangerous game here. This is how families get fractured, okay? Son-in-law, now quarterbacking, favorite team. Yeah. And this guy is apparently built like Wolchuk with the passion. It's like Wolchuk for the Cowboys. That's like Kirk Cousins' father-in-law for the Falcons. And now, for the last 5 weeks, he's watched his son-in-law throw one touchdown and nine interceptions and barely scrape by against what might be the worst team in the sport, the Vegas Raiders.
I wonder if it's affecting that family overall. You know, I think
especially during the holidays right now.
Yeah.
Like this was like maybe September, we give you the benefit of the doubt, old man off the Achilles. By the time you get to holiday season, you better be rocking and rolling, bro.
I feel like as a father-in-law, you rarely, there might be circumstances where, you know, the dude is so beyond reproach, he's so dialed in, he's like an Air Force pilot with a 4.0 and he's 6'3", 210. But most often, I feel like the father-in-law has a little bit of resentment towards son-in-law, you know?
Totally.
And this would just take it off the scale.
No doubt. Yeah, this is, it's pretty unprecedented. So I would hate to be at the Cousins family Christmas on the heels of the last five games and the Buccaneers stealing that division away.
Because you know them. Kirk's actual dad is likely just a regular sports dad who blames everything on the teammates.
Right.
Father-in-law, that might be icy.
Well, you think he's playing them old highlights of Atlanta? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Why don't we put on that September game?
Yeah. Just old. Yeah. Ever seen the Dirty Bird?
October? It was so great.
Yeah, Dirty Bird. Yeah.
Like Chris Chandler, that was a real quarterback.
Yeah.
Why can't you be like him?
Matt Ryan. The Raiders, the opposing quarterback. I mean, it was like, who wants to be worse? You had Kirk Cousins obviously doing what he did, which was playing bad football. But then on the other side, Desmond Ridder there. He completed his first pass to a wide receiver in last night's game.
100 years.
With 5 minutes and 22 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jeez.
That is the point in the game where a wide receiver for the Raiders officially was able to get on the stat sheet. So it was really, really bad.
I don't know. They have a badass tight end. I just keep throwing him the ball.
They do. For sure.
Maybe that's why you don't need to throw the ball to the wide receiver, because you got a guy that's legitimate.
Yeah. Well, it's not like they certainly weren't lighting up the scoreboard.
No.
Avoiding receivers.
But, you know, you throw the ball to that tight end, he can usually make a play for you.
And then the Bears obviously losing to the Vikings, and we're headed for quite the ending for the top seed in the NFC. There's actually a scenario where it could be a three-way tie at the end of the season between the Lions, the Vikings, and the Eagles. And the tiebreaker scenarios are pretty wild. So that is happening. Vikings look good, especially defensively. But Caleb Williams, I mean, in the first half, Caleb Williams' average depth of target on his 9 pass attempts were 0.1 yard.
They tried to break him in half. You see him like he's trying to throw the ball down the field, and they decide not to block the edge, and he jumps up in the air to try and get a little bit more on the ball.
Never get up
and,
in the
and
air.
And the next thing you know, he's got broken ribs and his head slams into the turf. I mean, the Bears, Ryan Poles, I don't know. I don't think they have enough pick. They could probably pick a lineman every pick, and it would be a good pick for them. It's just
nuts. They were 4-2. Stuff's like, it's pretty good, you know? And then the Hail Mary happens.
Seconds away from being 5-2.
They lost two games on field goals, didn't they? They lost in divisional games.
They lost the overtime game the first time to the Vikings. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then they got a field goal blocked against the Packers. They got a field goal blocked.
Yeah, Caleb Williams has been hit 90 times this season. Yeah.
Broke him in half.
Burrow and Mahomes have actually been hit more than him. How about that?
That's
an interesting stat there. Mahomes, and of course he's banged up now. But that offensive line is a problem. I'm like inching closer and closer to being off the Chiefs bandwagon. I don't want to bring myself to fully get there because I know I care about myself. But at the same time, I don't know. The tea leaves are there with the Chiefs. But yeah, it was bad all around for the Bears last night. What's funnier? Is it going back to draft night and Caleb Williams texting his punter that he's not going to be on the field that much? Or is it this clip back from January 31st of 2022? Take it away, GM of the Bears, Ryan Poles.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Whew. Yeah. I mean, freezing cold take if I've ever heard one.
My man could chew some gum, by the way. You see him up in the box.
Polesy?
Oh, my gosh. He was chomping down on that thing.
Going full Pete Carroll?
Full Pete Carroll.
What, last night?
Yeah,
I don't blame him.
He was blowing bubbles. Chewing. He was blowing bubbles. Sitting up there, he was.
I'm forever tie on.
Thinking about what he's going to do when he loses his job. Good day to be Mike Vrabel, though. Albert Breer says that Vrabel's at the top of the Bears list for preferred head coaches due to his relationship with that bubblegum chewing general manager, Ryan Poles. And then also, you have reports from Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets. And he's saying that Mike Vrabel is the candidate that they covet the most to be their next head coach. So
Vrabel off.
Yeah, dude, he's a bit of a commodity right now. But if either one of those teams have a chance at Ben Johnson and decide not to.
The Bear down
Bears.
My
goodness, man.
I don't think the Bears are going to pay him. I think that's going to be a problem with this guy. He's asking for so much money, potentially, that maybe the teams will get scared off by him because they just don't want to pay him that.
Yeah.
I kind of what Troy was throwing out, like, if you're the Bears, do you try and trade for one of these coaches?
Oh, Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, is who he threw out there?
He threw out Shanahan, you know? I don't know. Can you call the Rams, see if, like, they would be willing to trade a McVay? You know, somebody that you think would pair well with Caleb Williams?
You know what? If my rear was on the line like Ryan Poles, like, you know, they give you, like, the vote of confidence. But he's sitting up there thinking, okay, if I don't get this thing done, I'm done. Yes, I'm calling every team and talking about potentially trading for your coach.
Yeah,
if I feel like it can help me win, save my job.
Yeah,
hey, if you lose, it's somebody else's problem. You know,
that's true.
That's somebody else. I gave away the picks. But hey, not my problem anymore. Whoever the next GM is going to have a problem, not me. But I got to try and save my job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trading for Shanahan when I can just get Ben Johnson. Now, if Ben Johnson doesn't want to be there or whatever, then I would be certainly open to doing something like that. And he seems like he'd be much more gettable right now than trading for McSacks. I mean, why would the Rams punt on him, especially a team that's a bleep them draft picks kind of team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you want to get this thing done, though, quickly, more than a coach, you need to maybe trade a pick for a veteran offensive lineman and then use your first rounder on another one. And, you know, I think that would put you in the right direction.
You could pick 10 offensive linemen there and they would all help. It all makes sense. Mm-hmm. If they stood up there and they did their post-draft press conference, Ryan, you picked 10 offensive linemen. Yeah, did you see how we played last year? I need 10.
Maybe 2 will be good.
Yeah, God, it's bad. They're going to get that guy hurt, that quarterback hurt. if they don't figure out something to do with that offensive line.
RIP to the bettors who had a future on the season total rushing yards for Lions running back David Montgomery.
Ouch.
This one hurts. Did you guys see this?
No.
He's out for the season, obviously. Yeah. Before the season, his over-under rushing total was 775.5 yards.
Okay.
He gets injured after accumulating 775 yards.
Jeez.
Whew. That's a bad beat and a half right there. That's as bad a beat as you'll ever see from a future standpoint.
Every single tackle for loss. Like, that 1 yard, that's all I needed. That's all I needed.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
How much we lose?
Well, who knows? Whatever, you know, individual bettors, what they placed on it.
You're just saying overall. I thought you were saying there was one dude.
I'm sure there's a couple of dudes.
$1 million for this, you know.
Yeah, I would love to know what the biggest bet was on the over for season total rushing yards there for David Montgomery. 775.5, and he finishes injured with 775. That's as brutal as it gets. All right, here we go. The moment we've all been waiting for. I do believe this is, you guys tell me, is this the best? I think the setup, the first 10 seconds of this, is phenomenal. Take it away, Coach Gruden.
You know, everybody has dreams. Dreams of making the playoffs. Dreams of winning the Super Bowl. Dreams of Santa Claus coming down the chimney with all your favorite toys. But I'm into nightmares. Guys like Baker Mayfield of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Heading to Los Angeles to play the number one scoring defense in the NFL. And throwing for 268 yards and 4 touchdowns and just ripping them. Guys like Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody's complaining about we're not throwing the ball. How about 290 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Steelers? How about Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens? You go to the Big Apple and play the New York Giants. 5 touchdowns as you get ready for the showdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, my man. He goes to Detroit, throws for 362, rushes for 65, 4 touchdowns. I'm joining the Bills Mafia. Let's go, Buffalo!
All right, we're going to get to Josh Allen here in a second.
I'm into nightmares.
Yeah, please, Lucius, if you don't mind, the first 10 seconds of this is just outstanding.
You know, everybody has dreams. Dreams of making the playoffs. Dreams of winning the Super Bowl. Dreams of Santa Claus coming down the chimney with all your favorite toys. But I'm into nightmares. Guys like
that's beautiful,
I'm
man.
I'm into nightmares.
He's a mess.
But I'm into nightmares.
That's so good.
But you can hear the face just squinching up there.
Well, and he goes from like the Santa Claus, the dreams, and then he switches his face into Chucky mode. When he goes Chucky mode,
it's
man,
all bets are off.
I mean, it really is.
Got me feeling nicey.
He finishes there with Josh Allen. He's probably going to end up being the MVP. He's on a ridiculous tear right now. And one of the things that we talk about with great quarterbacks and what they're able to do, leveling up the talent around him. And I do think he's got an awesome orchestrator in Joe Brady as the play caller. And they've built an awesome rushing attack with James Cook. But my gosh, bro, when you look at the when you look at the leaders for this offense in targets,
yeah.
Like, you move on from Stephon Diggs, you now have the built-in excuse. Part of the reason why a lot of the people, us included, coming into the season were a little bit down on the Bills. Like, who are you going to go to? They, of course, end up trading for Amari Cooper, but he's still only 8th on the team in total targets on the season. Josh Allen is putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, it's been like October since they haven't scored 30 or more points. And his leading receiver is Khalil Shakir.
Wow.
Not a household name. After that, it's Dalton Kincaid. Tight end. Then it's Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
Whew. Then it's Keon Coleman, the rookie, who's been a little up and down. And then it's Curtis Samuel, and then the running back, James Cook. You get down to 8th in total targets when you get to Amari Cooper. It's not like he's been lighting it up post-trade. Like, all of a sudden, the offense took a turn for the better. I mean, this is Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, and a Mac Hollins offense, and they got the freaking MVP Superman.
And I'll give him regular season MVP, but I think the threat of takeaways are looming, the need to win from the pocket in the postseason eventually, the lack of weapons. I think, you know, you're going to face much better defenses on average in the playoffs. And that's why I won't be surprised if Kansas City doesn't get it done, but I don't think Buffalo's a shoe-in because of, you know, the disaster of the three interception game that that Josh Allen has had too often in his career.
They don't sack this dude.
No, I mean, he's so big and strong.
They faced 13 sacks this year and 484 dropbacks. Think about that. Almost 500 dropback passes, only 13 sacks.
Yeah.
And sacks are a quarterback stat.
For the whole year.
Because he'll take off and run, or he'll probably fall forward for a yard.
Yeah.
So there's no sack there. I mean,
I mean, it's no negative plays.
When we were talking in the beginning of the year.
It's unreal.
When the Cowboys were struggling and Dak was still healthy. And it was like, okay, well, you paid your quarterback. You can't put anything around him. Well, at some point, it's also, can that guy go ahead and mask some of the deficiencies? Clearly, Josh Allen, even being paid, has been able to keep this offense humming. Now, yeah, they got a running game. Cowboys do now with Rico Dowdle. Unfortunately, at that time, they didn't want to give the ball to Rico Dowdle for whatever reason. But, yeah, I mean, you're seeing when you pay the quarterback, there's levels of this thing. And that dude has put himself up at the elite tier. I think Lamar's playing like that as well.
There's a new nickname for Bo Nix, not one I was anticipating.
Oh, no.
They're calling him in Denver Mr. Spread.
Was he covering?
Bo Nix led teams are 21-6-1 against the spread since the start of 2023. Oregon last year, 10-3-1 against the spread. The Broncos this year, 11-3 against the spread.
Very nice.
Mr. Spread. And
ride that horse.
The advanced metrics are not too kind to Bo Nix, but hey, they're winning some football games.
They're winning games.
And
here's another guy that didn't get sacked. He's only given up 20. He's the third least sacked quarterback in the league. Got Buffalo, Green Bay, and Denver, top three that don't get sacked.
Boom. Yeah, but I think like what Josh Allen's doing, it's like you're not getting sacked and you are explosive as all hell. Play breaks down, you're getting out of the pocket. That's when disasters can happen. You see quarterbacks all the time, they're running around, boom. Now they just lost 9 yards or whatever. He's avoiding that, and then there's a 50-yard bomb. He had a throw across his, but he's running left. Josh Allen's running left at 16 miles per hour, according to Next Gen Stats, and then throwing back across to a dude who's running from left to right, and it was just it was money. The idea that Josh Allen's doing what he's doing right now with these weapons and like the accuracy's through the roof, big plays all over the place, not getting sacked, not turning the ball over. That was always the thing with Josh Allen. Yeah. They're almost losing to the Dolphins and Skylar Thompson at a home playoff game a couple of years ago because he's just turning the ball over left and right. And I do think that's a looming threat. I don't think you ever fully resolve that, you know, and as the pressure mounts in the playoffs. Plus on defense, you know, they've given up 40-plus 2 weeks in a row. I mean, come on. Defense is going to hurt. Like Josh Allen has to be super. They have a good rushing attack. But Josh Allen does have to be Superman for them because their defense is a bit of a liability for sure.
I mean, Super Bowl winners almost always have a top five defense. And there are examples through time of an offense being so great that it was able to carry teams close. But there isn't a lot of sustainability or predictability of a team with that level of defense being able to run a gauntlet like that. Maybe Josh Allen's the guy to make up for all that, though. Okay, there it is, an edition of Football's Finest. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. Get you some LA Live coming up at 5:40. All the top breaking stories of the day coming up next. Okay, is Brian's old buddy Andy Reid off his rocker now? Maybe he had one too many cheeseburgers. I don't know. A segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. The Expressway is presented by the on-time experts as we go commercial-free to the top. LA Live's coming up here in 15 minutes. And, of course, this is the 5 o'clock football hour, Wolchuk.
Yes, presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football.
Okay, so here we go. By the way, follow-up text from last segment, and I'm pretty sure this is right. The only two quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl without a top 10 defense. Same guy, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Two times. So Buffalo facing uncharted territory, but, you know, getting to the Super Bowl is a different story. And, you know, maybe they are the favorite. I know the Eagles right now, I saw the latest ESPN NFL power rankings. They had the Eagles number one and the Bills number two, so we shall see. Now, on Andy Reid, your buddy, Brian, and the Chiefs. Well, they're preparing for Patrick Mahomes to start Saturday's game against the Houston Texans. I don't know how you would play that. I would say, you know, maybe you go to Mahomes, but you have a paired back playbook as far as getting the ball out of his hands and trying to keep him
Carson
clean.
Wentz, huh?
Yes, and Reid says we have full confidence in Carson. If he has to step in and play, then I think everybody, coaches and players, have full confidence. Is that just lip service, or should we perhaps? Yeah. You think Carson Wentz is that done as a player?
No, I just, to me, I mean, if this team has played on the edge the whole year. And the reason, you know, they've been able to survive all the games they've survived is because the guy playing quarterback.
Totally.
You know, so all of a sudden, you know, yeah, Carson Wentz, capable backup, could go out and play well. Yeah, I mean, Andy's played, you know, he's done this before with a backup quarterback, you know, and Chad Henne, you know, and found a way to kind of, you know, manipulate the game and call a good game. But the reason why that Kansas City is in the position they're out right now is because of that quarterback. I couldn't imagine him having real confidence in Carson Wentz to go out there and win a close game like that.
I mean, he started like six seasons worth of games. He's 47-46-1. Are you saying that roster is so bad around Patrick Mahomes, he's dragging them to a 13-1 record?
I think that there's things that Mahomes is doing right now when you watch these games that is clearly just, I mean, nobody else could pull this off. I think Kansas, I'm not saying the roster is terrible, but I don't think it's where it's been in the past. I just think they're really well coached. They got a really good defensive coordinator. When they have to really buckle down, they find a way. But that guy is the difference maker. That's the guy that when, you know, I always talk about, give me a head coach that's a difference maker. A quarterback's a difference maker.
There's no question about it. I mean, it's funny to actually look at the DVOA rankings for the defenses. And this is for the whole season, so it's not to say that as of late this this isn't a little bit different. But mm-hmm. for the season, Buffalo's 10th defensively in DVOA, and the Chiefs are actually 11th.
Wow. Yeah.
So, but Buffalo has been getting torched as of late, and there's certain matchups that have been terrible for them.
Yeah, looking through their schedule and the results, there's a lot of games around early and mid-season where they were holding teams to 10 points. You know,
yeah, they've had some really, really good ones. Shutting down the Dolphins is, you know, twice has come to, but Baltimore crushed them. What the Rams did to them, obviously Detroit. So defensively, they do have some issues. But it's funny to see that they're 10th and Kansas City's 11th.
Yeah, I think Kansas City's defense is a little bit overrated this year, which perhaps makes what Mahomes is doing game management, risk management, even more impressive.
I don't know, man. I mean, this Chiefs defense is legit. They've allowed 30 points once. That's their only loss, which was to the Bills. Otherwise, 7, 17, 17, 27 points is the other high, which was Carolina. I mean, I think a big point, like, yes, late in the game, Mahomes finds a way, but they're staying in games because their defense is, like, I feel like we'd give that defense a disservice. We just lump it on the greatness of Mahomes, and he's deserved.
No.
That defense is damn good.
No, Do you not believe in DVOA after 14 games of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I think that also watching them play, it's hard to ignore. Like, Chris Jones, game on the line, he comes up with a big play for you. Like, Trent McDuffie is a really good player. Like, this team schematically, Spagnuolo will scheme something up for him. I mean, I do believe in this Kansas City defense.
Oh, no, I think you should believe in the Kansas City defense. I'm just saying the difference maker. Is that quarterback.
One score games, they're not winning those without Mahomes.
I think
that defense keeps him in it.
I do think if they were giving up consistently 25 or 26 points, Mahomes would just increase the risk and get over 30, and you might add a couple of more losses at the point. But I think that's one of the best things that Patrick Mahomes does amongst a litany of things is just do what the game is asking him to do to win the game.
Yeah, and what he's done with his legs in terms of stealing first downs in big critical moments, it is like he's on just not from like a running quarterback standpoint necessarily, but just like a scrambles, scrambling for the first down. Like, his success rate on that is historical. He understands how to do it. I do think their defense is less than what it was last year, the Chiefs, and part of it's because you move on from Snead the corner and you have Jalen Watson, who's a guy who's a beast, started the season awesome. He gets hurt and their defense has suffered for it. And because Spags wants to play man, he wants to trust his corners, but you can't do that when you don't have your horses.
Steven Nelson out of retirement. Like, they're dealing with some injuries on the back end of the secondary, 100%. But overall, I think that their defense keeps them in football games, and that's their formula. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to end up putting the Superman cape on at the end.
Yeah, and he's done a run before with a sprained ankle. You know, this is well-traveled territory for them in a lot of ways. Okay, let's go to college football. Kevin Sherrington, morning news commentary today. Provides us the springboard for this conversation. Headline, Quinn Ewers deserves to lead Texas in the college football playoff, but Arch Manning injection could spur offense. I think because the stakes are so high, you're looking for a national championship run. Had your chance last year. We've seen Quinn Ewers struggle. We know the look of a Quinn Ewers when he's not quite on. I'm looking for a hook. I'm looking, hey, are we second quarter and we have three punts and a field goal? Maybe, you know, now is the time, as dramatic as that would be, to at least have some packages, maybe a couple of series in mind for Arch Manning there in the first half. How would you guys approach this?
I like what they did against Texas A&M. Where, okay, now we're in the red zone. It's Arch time. Here you go. I think you've got to absolutely sprinkle more Arch Manning in. And if they're struggling, I get it. Like, Texas fans, there's a lot of loyalty towards Quinn. We've seen Quinn have some really good moments. I don't think you're winning a national championship with Quinn personally. You could get to the semifinal maybe, but it, to me, it's kind of comparable to like Bama with Jalen Hurts and Tua a few years back. And there were rumblings that Nick Saban, before that semifinal against Clemson, wanted to just go ahead and play Tua. He didn't. He played Hurts. They get to the Natty. Then at halftime, what's he do? Benches Jalen Hurts. Tua goes out there, wins the game. Maybe there's a similar formula in play here for Texas, but I think Arch is going to have a lot to say for them to get it done.
All right. Brian, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I watched Isaiah Bond last night, the wide receiver from Texas, and I was surprised the number of passes that were just not where they needed to be. And
you know, from Ewers.
From Ewers. And they've got a really they have this tight end named Helm.
Yeah.
That's a really good player. I mean, I watched the Michigan game and these guys are making plays, and I just need something different. And I know Quinn Ewers has got them to this point. There's just too much talent on this offense not to really take complete advantage of it. And I think Arch Manning's ability to kind of move around, buy a second chance, maybe run. I mean, this team plays a ton of play action passing. And I think that kind of plays into what Arch can do pretty well. So I would surely consider starting him in this game, you know, against Clemson.
Where do you have a grade for Ewers yet?
I haven't looked at yours. I just know when I know just studying, and like I say, you're watching their players. They've got this kid Wingo. Mm-hmm. It's a wide receiver, a Golden. They got some these guys that you're just like, wow, what playmakers on the outside, and you just don't see them using them in the way they run the ball really, really well. But I mean, with yours, I don't see an accurate quarterback, and I think there's some things. I just don't think he sees the field particularly well with some of the things some of the throws that he makes.
I don't want to gloss over that that impressive take right there. That was hot.
What's that?
Broadus is starting. If he's Sark, he's starting Arch Manning in the playoff game. That was badass. I'm jealous of that take.
I would absolutely. I just feel like, to me, I think Arch is ready for this.
You got bigger balls than Dan Campbell.
The slow starts have been a problem for Texas. I don't think you can get it. Clemson, I know, is a huge underdog in this game, but Clemson's playing better football right now. I mean, South Carolina was playing great football. I watched that game, South Carolina and Clemson. That was their quarterback at Clemson is playing, Klubnik.
Klubnik is
playing much better.
And he's motivated, home there.
I mean, we saw at SMU get down, 14-0 in that game. I don't know if you particularly want to have to deal with Clemson if they get behind in this game.
And you're not just saying that because he's friends with your son, Bennett?
Not at all. If I'm a Texas fan, I think that Arch Manning gives you the best chance to win in the playoffs.
SMU coach Brett Lashley lashing out against college football with some hot takes of his own, saying we need to be the adults here. He talked about how the Penn State backup left and says, we've been saying this for the last 3 or 4 years as coaches with all these changes, and what happens is we just make all these random changes because we don't want to get sued. Just absolute fire. Wow. From him, asking along with other coaches to eliminate the December transfer portal, at least for, you know, teams that are going to be participating in the playoff. And I'd be surprised if we don't make that happen this offseason. But you never know.
I don't think he's wrong. I mean, I trust me, James Franklin is not my favorite coach in college football, but you know, he made a very good point. He's like, listen, I've got players. But the way it's scheduled, if a kid is interested in going, he's like, I'm all for that. If the kid wants to move on and all that, great. But the way the rules are right now, he can't finish out this year with us. You know, he's got to go now. He can't wait.
What's the disadvantage of waiting until like January 15th to open this thing up?
I don't know. Zach, do you know what? I mean, maybe
because the next semester
maybe I need to get my general manager friend Mike Lombardi on and figure this thing out, because I don't know. I just think if you're
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Why can't you commit and still play?
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, you can. That's why, like what Kyle Dillingham said at Arizona State, makes a lot of sense, right? I'm not – some of these coaches, once their players commit to the portal, they're like, you want to leave the program. I don't want you part of this.
Yeah. James Franklin seems like that kind of guy.
Well, and Kirby did too. Dillingham had the approach of, this is what's best for
Kenny,
you.
Right?
You don't have you don't have a choice, right? So go – and you got some players from Arizona State that are playing still for them that are like – they got a tight end committed in the portal there, Florida State. Yeah. But he's still going to play for him in the playoff. Now, do those players feel a little distracted? I don't know. Maybe. I think overall best thing to do is push it back if you can. Yeah. Maybe it does have to do something with the college enrollment. You know, you're ending the first semester. You need to know where you're going to be in the second semester. That could possibly have something to do with it. But, I mean, I like the approach they have at Arizona State. You can't – your players can still play. So go ahead and just – hey, if you want to go, go.
I mean, looking at it from that perspective, it's more coaches' inflexibility. And you're either with us or against us mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to me, you know, that in college they could be so dug in against what the student wants and what's in the student's best interest. But, you know, they've had it so overwhelmingly in their favor, and the majority of them have fought against it at every turn, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. Brian Windhorst worries the NBA is going to lose viewers. Quote, we saw an NBA record for the most threes made and the most threes missed in the same weekend. Warriors and Mavs Friday night set up the debate with the record for both of those. You know, I don't mind the threes, guys. I'm excited by them, and I think it opens up more dunks. I love when my team shoots three, as long as it's not highly contested. But if it's Luka, I still like it, or Kyrie, you know. So I'm with the idea that it's more of a reflection of the turning over of the game stars, and what you have left in LeBron with the Lakers and Steph Curry with the Warriors isn't dominant. You know, people love to watch a team that's going to win 65 games and is trying for their second or third straight championship. And, you know, like Jordan with the Wizards wasn't a big draw on TV because they weren't winning and he was old. So I think, you know, this comes down to marketing and development of the game's next stars. And, you know, at what point do superstar Europeans resonate with the American sports fan? You know, I think that's interesting as well, especially if it's a Luka or a Jokic who are kind of stone-faced, or, you know, in Luka's case, negative on the court. They're not likable stars. Mm-hmm. You know, Giannis is a very likable star. But, you know, I think this will resolve itself over time as, you know, it settles in. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that, you know, maybe that dude needs to be in a bigger market. Maybe Anthony Edwards needs to be in a bigger market, or having those teams win championships in order to make those big marketing vehicles for the NBA. So I'm not worried about it. I think, you know, it's an inconvenience right now for the league. It's probably going to cost them money, but they'll figure out a way to remedy it. Probably a big promotional campaign coming out. Mavs are off the next two nights, host the Clippers on Thursday. They'll then visit the Clippers on Saturday. So a little back-to-back coming up here for Los Angeles, but perfect. I mean, between the five-day rest they got after getting eliminated from the NBA Cup and then this five-day rest, I mean, shoot, they've been off 10 out of the last 12 days or so. This should set up really well.
Yeah, big picture, that's a huge win.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
And then, you know, the All-Star break looming just a couple of months away. Hopefully this team can get fresh and
I just saw a tweet. It's funny. I was talking about Mike Lombardi at North Carolina. Did you see that they're North Carolina's preparing to offer the biggest NIL deal for either one of those Texas quarterbacks?
Whichever one. Saw something about that. I don't know.
For Ewers or Arch?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
If they weren't.
It'd be Ewers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when Ewers is declaring for the draft, I'm going, dude, you could probably go out there and fetch a little something and continue to develop.
Great win for the Stars last night. They're back at it tomorrow night. It's going to be an early game, a 6:30 puck drop there. So if you have tickets, be ready for that. Time now to get ready for LA Live.
In the city, when you're living day to day.
Eagles.
Yeah, man, I love that song. Boom, boom, boom.
On that horizon.
Man, I love that song.
Far beyond the new. Tell me, just go, right?
Keep going, brother. Hey, it's the Toxic Tuesday. We're about to get into it right after the great Rick James. Come on.
Surviving in the sea.
Well, all right, two squares. It's time you smoke.
Where you live in day to day.
Fire up this funk.
I'm going to get a sabato.
That's me.
It'll make you dance to some of everything.
Dance,
everybody could have.
So I went to Waco, Texas. I was in this Uber in Waco, and we passed this place called Tom's Burgers. And the Uber driver was like, "Oh, Tom's Burgers, that's what Waco's known for." I was like, "I don't think that's what Waco's known for." Yeah. He was like, "You never had those burgers." I was like, "You've never had Netflix." There's a show on Netflix called Waco, and it's not about those burgers.
Waco, stand up. Shout out to the 254 Central Texas. What's good?
Did they used to have the Fat Ho Burger too, Lucius?
Yeah, they had the Fat Ho Burger. Sure did.
Hot.
Yeah. This is LA Live for Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. It is a toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, and I promise you, folks, it will be toxic. It might involve some crash outs, maybe some crash dummies. Like the gentleman that got arrested at the Pentagon. You seen that? Did you guys see that?
No.
I saw something about it.
Yeah, buddy got arrested at the Pentagon.
Tried to rush it?
He had firearms and whatnot.
He had firearms and whatnot. He's had some whatnots on him for sure.
Did he really?
Grenade?
Yeah, buddy was outside of the Pentagon with a loaded gun, 14 pounds of marijuana, and a Glock switch in his underwear. You guys know what the Glock switch does, right?
Yeah, it turns out automatic, doesn't it?
Absolutely, sir. 100%. Authorities say the man had a loaded firearm of 16 rounds, including one in the chamber. Wow. When he was stopped for a traffic infraction. Traffic infraction. Guess what that was?
His license plate.
I wish. He was just talking on the phone.
Oh.
Talking on the phone. It made headlines.
You think he was talking to somebody about what he was about to do?
Man, you got a text. You got to text if you got that much stuff going on in your car. If you're riding that dirty, you have to pay attention to all the stop signs and all the laws out there on the streets, man. What are you doing, fam? Pentagon police officers who stopped him smelled marijuana and ordered him out the vehicle. The guy got out the vehicle and immediately jumped back into his car, attempted to speed away, and multiple police officers grabbed onto the vehicle. Guy stopped, and he's locked up. I don't know who he was moving stuff around for, because if you have that much, you got 14 pounds of marijuana. That's not, that's beyond recreational. Yeah. Okay. So you just screwed up somebody's shipment.
I feel like you could have one of those three things. You could have the smell of marijuana. You could have some marijuana if it didn't smell, or you could have a gun. Right. But all three of those things at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow, you're asking for it. Oh, and the fourth thing on your phone in a district paying close attention to that.
Jeez,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, some of these people are just reckless with it, you know, and they look carefree and it's like, wow, you're just driving around like that? This car smells awful loud here, buddy.
What are you doing, man?
What? It smells?
Had the Glock switch in his underwear. Yeah, don't crash out, people. Please use some thought.
That switch will get you in big trouble, too. You should never have that.
100%. Yeah. Have you ever heard them go off?
Yeah, on social.
It's quite scary.
Yeah.
G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Fan Phenom, Blake Elliott.
Hey, Blake.
And the Night Show host, along with, what's my man's name?
Fred.
What's up, Fred?
Fred. Listen, I know your name.
Fred's my guy.
That's weed.
I just forget a lot of things, Fred. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, Blake was telling a story to Fred about the time his root canal got infected and he had to go to the care now or whatever that is to get a shot of penicillin. He didn't know where the penicillin had to go.
I'm complaining, sitting there on the urgent care table, whatever, with the plastic.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he goes, "You want the pain to go away?" Kind of licks his chops and said, "Yes, doctor." I'm not even looking at him at this point.
Anything, please.
I turn around. He's got the longest needle I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, it's a penicillin needle.
And he said, "Well, I'm gonna shoot you up with this, and you'll be feeling better." I said, "Okay, here's my arm, sir."
He's like, "Nope, not that. He's not that mangly ass little arm." He goes, "Well, drop trowel."
Mangly ass. He goes, "I'm gonna need you to drop trowel."
Whoa.
Yeah. What do you mean? Ba-doop! Right up the shooter, right up the butt. Boom. And then I was like, "Okay, that wasn't too bad.
That wasn't too bad."
He goes, "There's one more coming." And it was a second needle right there. Two needles in my buttocks and I've never felt better right after.
It's just his reaction to both injections is amazing. Yeah. No, it wasn't too bad.
Sometimes I feel like he knows what he's doing. I'm going to just slightly missay this for hilarity effect, but.
No, man.
Blake.
Right up the shooter. Their way through it.
I think that's Blake.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
Did the doctor pull your hair and everything, too?
Yeah. Smack you on the butt. Rubbed his index finger down your spine.
Damn tight.
You might need a prostate check, son.
Blake said, wasn't really that bad.
Yeah, he said that.
Can we go again?
Yeah.
Right up the shooter.
Yeah. Toxic Tuesday. Here on LA Live 105.3 The Fan, let's go to Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay. He was doing some high key hating. I'm hot as hell in here. High key hating right here. Club Shay Shay had Wiz Khalifa on as a guest, and they were talking about We Dem Boys. Wiz Khalifa's from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
We Dem Boys is a Pittsburgh song for real, right?
It is.
Originally, we adapted it because we are them boys. Mm-hmm. We are them boys.
Thanks for the song.
Yeah. And Wiz is not upset about that. He likes it, in fact, because, you know, his spins go up.
He makes money.
Yeah, he makes money. Club Shay Shay hating, though.
The Cowboys take your song. The Cowboys take your song. We Dem Boys.
They did. But they didn't take it. They just started scoring touchdowns and saying We Dem Boys. So I'm like, all right, cool. Now I got two anthems.
But they not.
What, Dem Boys?
Yeah, they not.
They are.
No, they not.
I mean, like, kind of.
You see their record?
All right, man, don't.
Hey, Wiz said that. Wiz,
I need them
y'all
score much more touchdowns. Every time they score, the song gets played.
Yeah, he was doing some hating right there.
Man.
Club Shay Shay.
I saw he was hating on a Travis Hunter situation as well with the lady, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, he didn't like it. Yeah. And Michael Irvin got real out of pocket on Twitter. I'm trying to correct him. Did you see Michael Irvin's tweet about it?
Mm-mm.
He quote tweeted him. I hope he deleted it by now.
Oh, no.
I hope he deleted
it. Do I need to look this up?
Yeah, please.
All right. Let's all right. Go. Let's.
Yeah. Irvin. I hope he deleted it because I'm not going to say what he said here on this radio.
Like a dog with a bone with this.
Oh, I think that's what I saw that let me know.
Yeah.
Code violation.
Yeah.
I love you to life, but stop.
I've never heard Mike say it like that.
He's definitely not on network TV anymore.
Clearly.
I like the way he spelled violation.
Yeah. Mike was on one.
Close enough.
Got my point across.
Send. Did you read it?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I seen that this morning. I was like, this cannot be real. This is real.
All caps, too. You know, he was screaming in that very particular playmaker scream.
This is a violation.
A violation with two A's.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Club Shay Shay being messy as always. He even asked Wiz Khalifa about like some of the athletes he would like to spark up with and smoke, because you know Wiz is like a big smoker out here. And Wiz kind of snitches.
Who are some of your athletes stoners of all time? The best athlete stoners of all time.
Best stoners. Ricky.
What's my boy name?
Who said that?
What's the dude who quit playing football?
Yeah, Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams.
There you go. He literally quit to smoke weed.
You ever smoked with Ricky?
Nah, I ain't smoked with Ricky yet. Mike Tomlin.
Ooh.
Mike Tomlin.
That's awesome.
Jeez.
No wonder he relates to the players so well.
Yeah.
I got a little care package for you, son. Come over here. Talk about the 4-3.
We're doing some film watching tonight. Yeah.
That is hilarious, dude.
Straight snitching right there. That Club Shay Shay is just a bastion for just messiness.
Dude, did you guys see the clip of Mike Tomlin having a very calm conversation early in the game versus the Eagles with the referees, face-to-face with the referees? He's just standing there,
and then he just
says, get the F away.
And
he shoes him. Didn't like what he heard.
Be gone.
Love Mike Tomlin. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Jamie Foxx, the great Jamie Foxx, was attacked while celebrating his birthday at Mr. Chow's.
Oh, not Mr. Chow's.
Mr. Chow's.
I thought that was a safe space.
Did he go in after him again?
No. Looked like the Jackass boys.
Oh, really?
Were at Mr. Chow's as well.
Okay.
Okay, and they were up there in the VIP area, and they had like a laser, and the laser was a dong.
Oh.
And they were making like dong shapes on Jamie's face as he was celebrating his birthday with his family.
Okay.
And so he got tired of the dong shapes hitting his face and walked up there to go tell the jackass boys, hey, man, don't put your dong in my face.
We got dong lasers, bro? Walchuk, did you know about this?
I didn't know about the dong lasers.
Yeah.
Is this news to you, Lucius, about the dong laser?
Yeah.
Might be a jackass invention.
That's, yeah. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, so instead of a red dot on the wall that the cat's chasing around, it's a dong.
Yeah. Yeah, like a bridal shower looking. You know those little lollipops they always have?
You got the balls in it.
Yeah, the wiener straws. Yeah. Or that balloons. They do the big balloons.
That red dot on you, if you see that red dot, that's terrifying.
Well, now it's a red dong.
Until you see a
I'm just saying that the dot, though, you're kind of thinking, man, somebody got a laser point? Yeah. Laser
he really did get schlonged.
Yeah, he really did. He needed stitches because when somebody threw a glass at his face during that little altercation, the conversation that was going on. Somebody threw a glass at him. He had to get stitches on his lip. That's crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah. What are we doing, y'all?
That Jamie Foxx is too much.
Jamie Foxx versus Jackass. That's toxic. And he had to get stitches, bro. Come
I wonder
on,
who threw the glass.
They said his name. I forgot it. Maybe you might have to Google that part.
Bam Margera.
Bam would be my first guess.
Wee Man.
Don't. Yeah. He'd be right in the knee, this fool. I had to get stitches on my thigh, man. Yeah, it's one of those fools up there. Hey, has anyone ever came up on betting? Sports betting? Like, I'm talking about like, wow, man, that was a good thing. Like, that parlay worked out for me, and I got all this paper now.
Yeah.
You did? Good for you, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what happened. And real quick, if I can, Lucius.
Go, man, get in your bag.
I'm going to try. I was in Vegas. I was at the I was betting a game. It was Virginia versus Illinois in a bowl game. And I was sitting at the window, and I put the money on Illinois. And this guy behind me was, like, I was telling my buddy, like, why I was picking Illinois in this game. And this guy, older gentleman, this tracksuit, chains, all that kind of stuff, kind of that guy, he heard me place my bet because I was talking to my buddy, and he goes, oh, man, that's good. And so I go, okay, great. He goes to the window. I'm standing there, and he goes, 10,000 on Illinois.
Shoot.
Minus whatever. And he turned around, and he gave me a thumbs up. And sure enough, it hit.
Thank God it did.
It hit, and he came back around. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's going to give me a little money for, you know, the tips and stuff. No drink, no tips. He goes, hey, good job on that first game there. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, thanks. But never gave me, I bet like $40 on the game. He bet 10,000. And he was just looking for somebody to make up his mind. It was one of those early like morning games. Yeah. Like I say, man, there's no way an ACC team was going to beat a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And the guy, he did. But he just thanked me for the tip he got.
Yeah. My homeboy was bugging me on Sunday night about taking the over on the Packers. Should I do it? Just over and over again, just ask him. I was like, yes!
Just do it!
Just do it! You know, I mean, what you think? Like, every 5 minutes. That's what I'm thinking about. Like, yeah, come on, bro. Anyway, this TikTok guy. TikTok might get banned. We'll do that later on LA Live. But a dude called into a gambling hotline. And he wanted some advice because he's been losing a whole lot of money on these parlays. And I think if this is real, this is some really good advice from the gambling hotline guy. Check this out.
1-800-GAMBLER-HELPLINE. Greg speaking. How can I help you?
Hey, I was just calling because I needed some help, bro. I keep losing my parlays by one leg, and I don't know what to do.
Well, the problem is parlays are a sucker's bet.
Man,
the casino holds 20% on parlay. They hold 2% on money line. That's the problem. If it's too good to be true, it is.
So I shouldn't be doing parlays. I should be doing like straight money line bets or something.
If you're gonna gamble, you should avoid parlays. Yes.
Because T. Higgins got 23 yards yesterday, and he should have got 40 plus. I'm trying to really understand.
Listen, how many legs was the parlay?
The parlay that I made, it was like a. It was like a 13-leg parlay. Oh, I just missed by one. Everybody else did what they were supposed to do. And this has been happening all month, bro. I lost four bands the other day because one dude didn't get a reception. Four bands.
Listen, if it's causing this much problem for you, maybe you should take a break from gambling.
Nah, bro. I got a win, though. I got to see that green.
Well, then I would avoid the parlays because, honestly, like I said, it's not, statistically, they're hard to hit. The casino makes all their money off of parlays. They make almost nothing off of the money line.
Damn.
They hold like 20% on parlays.
So I should be doing money line bets.
You should be doing money line, bet the over, bet the under. I'd avoid the parlays.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a pretty informed dude.
That's absolutely what I'm saying.
That's a really good. I wish I'd get more customer service.
That's
like
what
that.
I'm saying.
Honest
that's,
enough.
Yeah. That's is a guy trying to keep you from gambling? Is you
well, he would like to, but he wants to limit the damage as much as possible. I think it's a
but
great
he's not
idea.
Talking the dude out of it. He's saying, "Hey,
no,
do this."
Simply suggesting maybe you stop for
baby
a little
steps.
Bit.
Yeah. But I think that's the kind of voice you need on the other side, a realistic guy who's been there, sounds like an experienced gambler, knows his stuff. Yeah. It's a voice of credibility.
Yeah, that's amazing right there. And he has, like, answered the phone all day and have that type of wisdom to people.
Yeah.
And talk people off the ledge and tell them what's real out here. Let them see through the fog.
Yeah, I had a buddy that lost 40 grand.
Oh, no.
Ooh, called his dad on top of a bridge.
Yeah.
Nearly ended it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was calling one of those gambling tip lines that was also taking bets. So they were just setting him up to take the fall and giving him the hot tip, and it was really the bad side of the deal, and he got destroyed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, be careful out here. I want to download some of these apps and get busy sometimes because I see people next to me, right next to me, eating. Yeah, man, they're not going crazy, but they getting a little paper like while they're watching the game.
Yeah.
I'm spending money to watch the game in a sense.
Yeah, you got to observe a gambler over like a 2-month period because almost every time I've won big on a sports game, I give it all back in the next 2 or 3 games.
Mm.
You know, and it's always like the Adam Sandler movie where it's like I can use this and double up, and then you double up, and it's like, but I double up from here. Now I'm doing this and doing that. You start doing the moon math, it's curtains.
I'll tell you, Bennett, my son, he's really good at that EPL soccer.
Is he?
Yeah, the English Premier League soccer.
Ooh, nice.
He's got that thing figured out.
Nice.
So I'm like, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but as far as the teams and stuff, really, but he's kind of got that where it's like, watch this.
It's doable.
He puts like three together.
It's doable, but you need a great understanding of it. And the most important part is the bankroll management.
Yeah.
So you're not risking it all on coin flips.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They need a stock line like that.
Yeah.
I like stocks.
Yeah.
Let Nancy Pelosi answer the phone.
That's just a great example.
She's the greatest
service.
Stock trader of all in my lifetime. Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Broadus?
It's just a great example of customer service. That
was amazing.
We're playing this tape for, you know, like this might be recorded or monitored. You know, that would be the example of like, oh, well, here's a good one.
Yeah.
But he's turning that light bulb on that, well, maybe what I'm doing is stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Seeing through the fog right there.
I should stop.
I don't know. I think the guy probably did. He left the parlays.
They're so tempting. You know, I only do 3 teamers if I'm going to play around there.
13, that is nuts.
Yeah. And if you hit that, I mean, it could be tens of thousands.
Huge.
Oh, don't say that to me. All right. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing to the creek don't rise. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holler. Peace.
Thank you, Lucius. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the nation. What do we have coming up next, gentlemen?
I believe it's time for a little TD Tuesday. Oh. The best touchdown calls from a weekend in the National Football League. That is next.